Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Yep. It's that time of day again. That time of the week.
Be afraid.
No, it's Monday. Good song to start Monday off.
I suppose you could do that. Yay! Welcome to Manic Monday or whatever. Don't sound excited.
Totally do.
I should be excited. This is Zombie Week, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Zombie Week. Yay!
We're not even the ones who kicked it off. I believe Glee helped us out with that last night. Thank you, Glee people. For the zombies.
I gotta check out Zombie Week now.
Zombie Valentine's Week. I think we're starting a new trend. How you doing, Jinja? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Miss Corey?
Well, aside from sounding like a person who makes calls to people for a living, I'm trying to be, you know, I'm trying to be evasive with that particular line of speaking, but you all get where I'm going with that. That's what I sound like today. I'm sorry. Anyway, this is Lunch with Ginger and Corey. I'm Corey.
And I am Ginger. I think I'm a little brain dead this morning. I may have had a few too many hours of mutated chicken. Oh, God, fallen earth. Yep.
Fallen earth. You know, I am terrible about updating my drivers. And I did so yesterday, and I now have a whole new game in Fallen Earth. My mutated chickens, some of them don't look so mutated anymore. And some of them are giant and some are small, but they're still kind of mutated. But it was real interesting.
Mm-hmm. I've come across the small ones. They seem to hurt worse than the large ones.
They do. They do, indeed. Evil, evil chickens, evil. I don't like when they scratch.
Evil.
Yeah, I don't like when they scratch in the ground. That disturbs me. So... It does. That doesn't disturb you, the little dust. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking about that. We'll be talking more about that Wednesday night. Hope you guys are listening. We'll all be here. The lunchtime girls and the nighttime girls.
Ooh.
It's just one of those days. Got to keep you on your toes, people. Mm-hmm. So, Ginger, what's going on in the world of news? Give my voice a rest for a cute couple of seconds before I speak again. Is this not going to make it?
Well, I think it was last week, maybe the week before, I talked about the hacker that was threatening Frogster.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there has been a little bit of an update on that. Pulling this from Game Politics, looks like they got it from GI Biz. Anyways, Frogster ignores Runes of Magic hacker demands, works on security. I think that's awesome. All right, so anyways, pretty much the hacker issued a huge list of stupid demands last month, threatened to release payment and account details of thousands of Runes of Magic users if his demands weren't answered. A lot of them are stupid, you know, stop deleting our posts, stop being meanieheads, da-da-da-da-da-da. Anyways, just being, I swear to God, he was just stupid. Anyways, so, Frogster pretty much told me, you know, sure, all right, you hacked our system, but all you got was old information. Release it. We don't care. So he showed his seriousness by releasing details from the 2000 accounts. Of course, the data is from 2007. Much of it's outdated. You know, Frogster did make a statement in January saying that it had done a number of things to ensure the security and integrity of Runes of Magic account data. So, you know, the current players didn't have much to worry about. And pretty much, if you didn't change your passwords, if you heard about this, it's your own fault if your account gets stolen. So, I'm sorry, that last part was my added on, not theirs. the company claims that after the publication of the threat, it inspected all of its systems for vulnerabilities and backdoors. It put in new firewalls, added new user privileges and passwords, and all sorts of other further security measures. So it looks like they're not even going to negotiate with hackers, is what Frogster COO Dirk Weil says. So way to go, Frogster. I don't think you should have to negotiate with hackers.
Hackers are terrorists. No, not all of them, but, you know, guys like this. I dare say hackers probably would not claim him as being one of their own.
No.
I I could be mistaken, I'm not saying all hackers are good guys, but mostly they exploit the holes so that the companies know they're there. They usually tell them, and they don't demand anything. It's just like, look what we did. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Fix it.
Or, hey, we got bored. We found this. You should fix it.
Yeah, so I don't think they claim him as their own. Stop deleting our posts, really?
Tell on you. Some of these people. I don't know what's wrong with them.
Amazing. Well, I'm very... Huh? Say again?
I said lead paint chips.
They were eating them instead of Doritos.
They're so pretty.
Oh, I wanted to take a minute to say congratulations to the Super Bowl winners. Yes, we got bitten by the bug, but not in the way that you guys did. I love the commercials, and I had a debate going in private with somebody. I still say the M&M commercial, not the brisk one. The one for Chrysler was the best one. End of discussion. Okay. And mine will be here forever. my final argument. Okay, I'm really excited about this because I don't know if one of us is playing this for review. Most possibly. And if not, I probably will be because I like it. It's a simulator. The brand new tram trailer was released for Cities in Motion. It is set for a February 22nd street date. I love when they put that in there, street date, like it's drugs. And it is for me. This is from our favorite new company, Paradox Interactive. And they're talking about the forthcoming mass transportation simulator for PC, which was developed by Colossal Order Limited, which is illustrating how to construct a tram network, just one of over 30 different types of public transportation vehicles in the game. And you'll be traveling back in time to 1961. The tram trailer guides the viewer on the essentials of building a tram network system for commuters, from creating new lines, adding stops in strategic locations, and buying trams to carry the passengers to their destinations. And again, this is going to be due out February 22nd. And I know you say that does not sound exciting, but if you know, it all goes according to the normal simulator, there'll be lots of little humorous things that go wrong, of course. Maybe there'll be sinkholes or something. I don't know.
sinkholes.
Yes, and they're saying...
Giant worms.
Oh, stop it with the sandworms. Good. Me and the sandworms were not having a good time last night. So apparently you can explore four different cities, Vienna, Helsinki, Berlin, Amsterdam. You can engage in a campaign that spreads across 12... I have a list today. Across. Did you hear that? Across 12 scenarios, as well as sandbox mode, where all campaign cities are available, has realistic 3D graphics and over 100 unique buildings, advanced economy simulation, including contractor deals, banking, insurance, and fluctuating economic trends. And you play through 100 years of transportation history across four eras between 1920 and 2020. There's also a map editor to allow you to create your own cities. And you simulator fans out there, if you're like me, you're like, oh, God, yes. Anyway, you will find more details about this up on our site shortly and the trailer as well. I am excited. I love a good simulator. I hope it's good. Paradox is usually makes good simulators.
Paradox, y'all have no idea what y'all just done. We're totally going to lose Corey. I'm going to have to drive down to where she lives, you know, go pull her away from her computer.
No chance in hell.
So I heard during the commercials last night, during the Super Bowl, that Sony Ericsson officially unveiled its Android-based PlayStation phone, the Xperia Play.
Ooh.
Did you see it?
I did not.
Oh, I wish I'd seen it. Yeah, it looks like it was released yesterday. What does it say? Apparently the ad showed a back alley surgeon adding opposable thumbs to Google's Android robot. And the tagline, Android is ready to play, followed by images of the phone.
Drool.
Seriously, this thing sounds so nice. 4.2-inch screen, 1 gigahertz processor, 5 megapixel camera. Oh, it's going to be so nice.
Oh, talk dirty to me, girl. Oh.
I'm looking for a release date. It looks like I still don't have one. But this looks awesome.
Well, another thing that was announced that I did see. Are you done, by the way? I just jump right in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'm crazy.
Go for it.
The other thing I did see last night, something we told you guys about last week, Best Buy's buyback program.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the commercial was mildly hilarious. It wasn't super, super hilarious, but it was mildly hilarious. Once I saw the Justin Bieber and Ozzy Osbourne and everybody in context, it was kind of funny. But here's what I was not clear on. And I'm sure you guys will be asking the question. And we will try to get a hold of a rep at Best Buy. And we used to have a homie over there, but I don't know if she still works there. They didn't say if they would buy back anything, or is it just things you buy from them? That's what I'm curious about. Like, if I bring my old cell phones in, will you buy them and put them, you know, put, you know, if it's a, it's a brand they carry, you know what I mean? You know, Best Buy carries.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I'd like
I
to know.
If there's a catch, though.
I bet there's a catch. I bet you had to have bought it from there. But I hope not, because I would love, I got a closet full of old cell phones. I would just love to go over and be like, I think I need me an Android tablet, and I got 12 cell phones here. Bam. Put that towards my purchase. So if we find anything out about that, we will let you know. And you can probably find all these, well, you can find all these trailers online, and I have closed up the link before I got to give it to you. I think it's SuperBowlCommercials2011.com, but I could be wrong. But check, go check that out. You'll probably find something similar. They have all these commercials that we're talking about, including the Android one. I did see it while Ginger was speaking on it, but I don't know what I did with the link. Bad Corey.
Oh, no. Bad Corey. Bad Corey. I want to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
Bad,
I didn't
bad.
Know about that website.
I found it sometime this morning around 3:30.
Ah.
I don't sleep. I'm not joking, people. I really don't sleep. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Ginger, back to you.
All right. Okay, there is a new game in town. Well, apparently it's not that new, but it is for us English speakers. Kazagu Entertainment, the Paris-based online video gamer publisher.
Yeah, that one.
released this week the English version of Nuja, its kid and tween virtual world. The English release follows the French release, which took place in April of 2010. It looks like the English release is going to allow a much larger audience to discover the universe of Nuja. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right. N-O-O-J-A.
No. I don't know.
The quality of the production, its graphical style, its narrative, and its musical theme gives Nuja a strong global potential. During our beta testing phase, it's essential for us to address the English-speaking audience, which constitutes the biggest market for kids-focused virtual worlds. This is coming from the CEO of Kazagu, Ethan Beardsley. So let's just skip on down. What is Nuja? Nuja was released in March 2010. It's currently still in its public beta testing. Nuja is a colorful, fun, and positive multiplayer game in which kids can chat and play in a safe environment. With its musical inspiration, Nuja lets kids interact by chatting, using animated smileys to play mini games, personalize their avatar according to the latest musical fashions, and explore Nuja's universe while collaborating with other players. Nuja's environment is supervised by a team of professional moderators and is adapted to kids 7+. I'm looking for a website. I don't see one, but I'm sure if you look it up, N-O-O-J-A, you can find it. I have to say I'm a little bit leery of these kind of games that cater to kids. I just worry about the crowd that they attract that isn't kids.
Well, if they go the way of Wizard 101, shouldn't be a problem. Because, you know, Wizard 101 is locked off completely.
That is true. That is very true.
So, and I love that about them. If you got little ones, especially snow days, and you want something to do with them, Wizard 101, fun MMO for big people and little people. And your little people are safe because no one can talk to them without your say-so.
Yes, very much so.
I have three things that just popped up in my inbox, and I'm not sure which way to go first. So I'm gonna go with the story I got from Game Politics while I wait for this page to load up, because this is in German and I don't read German. I don't care if those are my ancestors. I don't read the German. I'm working on it, people. Assassin's Creed, one of my favorite games. Brotherhood, to be specific, wins a WGA award. Yay! Ubisoft's game, third game in the popular Assassin's Creed series, has won the Writers Guild of America Award for Games Writing. Awesome! The award winner has announced on Saturday night at a gala event and faced some stiff competition from such games as Fallout New Vegas, Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2, Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Sands, and Singularity, who I've never heard of. Amazing! There's a game I've never heard of. Assassin's Creed Brotherhood was written by Ubisoft's Patrice Desailets. I'm going to say Desailets probably, since it's in France. Geoffrey Yohalam, Corey May, Geoffrey Yohalam, and Ethan Petty and Nicholas Grimwood. Oh, I'm sorry, and Matt Turner. You may recall that prior to this weekend's award ceremony, there was some controversy about the requirements to be eligible for the honor. Some developers and publishers complained about the requirements of the award, such as having to pay $60 membership to the Guild's Video Game Writers Caucus and having to submit the script to judges. I don't think that's so far-fetched. Oh, and that comes from Game Politics via Blues News and Big Download. I don't think that's steep at all, considering if you're in the Screen Actors Guild, you have to pay a fee as well. It kind of keeps you safe.
Yeah.
And we've done a show about that. You look way back in our show archives. We were talking about how much writers and game actors get paid versus real actors, which is paltry pittance. But at least this is an organization, and later on maybe they can lobby for more money. We hope so, because if you're getting awards, you're doing some excellent writing. Ginger, what's the weather like?
It's actually kind of sunny out today, finally. Snow's all gone.
Yay!
All right, so just read this. This is a new one. The Evolution of Gamers, an End to the Cliché. It's kind of interesting. Lonely, pizza-obsessed gamers sitting alone in the dark, playing video games for hours on end. Isn't that what everyone thinks? Truth or fiction? Well, Big Point wanted to know, and that's why the game producer surveyed a total of 6,663, that's a weird number, online gamers from around the world about their gaming habits and everyday life. So let's just jump on down to what they found out. Big Point Gamer Survey presents a completely new image of online gamers, attractive, healthy, cultured, and popular with the opposite sex. Gamers are sociable individuals. I think that's why we play MMOs. I mean, that's kind of a big deal, right? Both online and offline, 62% of the surveyed players said they have more friends in real life, and the percentage increases with age. 55% of players under 20 have more real-life friends than online friends. 73% of gamers over the age of 50 have more real-life friendships. A total of 28% of the people met most of their friends online, but have since gotten to know them in real life.
Yay!
Only a tenth of gamers said that their only real-life friends were online gamers. Gamers also like to socialize in their free time. More than half of them, 52% in fact, meet up with their friends regularly each month. And a third, 34%, even see their friends on a daily basis. Though most of these tend to be younger players. So this is pretty interesting. I'm looking to see if I can give you a website. Looks like maybe you can head over to bigpoint.com to read more about this. But I think that's pretty interesting. You know, it totally gets rid of the whole, you know, cave dwelling, lives in your mother's basement, works at Pizza Hut thing.
You mean they don't?
No.
Amazing. No. You gamer people are amazing.
And for some of the pictures that Corey took of some of the people that she saw, oh my God.
Is that a oh my God good or oh my God bad?
Who was the guy with the swords?
Prince of Persia. Oh, now, yeah. Syrup worthy if ever anyone was. Okay. and I told him so to him face. Well, there's so much news. Okay, I'm sorry. None of the news I got in my mailbox is readable to us Americans. I will post it on the site for our German listeners because we do that. We do get French and German releases. I don't know how we got on this particular list. We're getting a lot more than normal. Maybe you guys are trying to take over the world. I understand. But just know that I was here first. So anyway, I can't read you any of these, but they'll go up shortly. However, you BlizzCon people. I got scared for a minute. Run, hide. Okay. Ooh, run, hide. Okay, I will do a different one. Okay, I'm shutting up.
No. Go for it. Go for it. You already started it. You can't tease them.
I'm scared. Okay, so BlizzCon. I'm looking behind me to make sure Ginger's not behind me. BlizzCon 2011 has been officially announced. Some of you who follow it religiously are like, I already knew, whatever. BlizzCon Entertainment's sixth BlizzCon gaming celebration is going to be held at Anaheim Convention Center October 21st and 22nd. Brief. BlizzCon is a celebration of the global player community surrounding BlizzCon, Blizzard's entertainment. Blizzard Entertainment's Warcraft, Starcraft, and Diablo universes. And Mike Morhaime, my voice is not going to hold out. You probably should have done this one. Mike Morhaime, CEO and co-founder of Blizzard Entertainment, is quoted as saying, "We look forward to holding another exciting BlizzCon this year, filled with some great entertainment and competition, as well as the latest news about Blizzard games and people dressed as their favorite characters." And no, he did not say that. I added that. BlizzCon is built from the ground up with our community in mind, and we're pleased to be able to host an event where players can come together and have fun and celebrate their passion for gaming. In addition to serving as a gathering place for all you World of Warcraft addicts, StarCraft addicts, Diablo addicts, they're going to be offering the attendees a chance to enjoy hands-on playtime with the latest versions of Blizzard Entertainment games. That usually means ones that you don't have access to, period.
The new MMO.
Yes, discussion panels with Blizzard Entertainment developers. Please don't yell at them. Competitive and casual tournaments for players to showcase their talents, community contests with great prizes, commemorative merchandise based on Blizzard Entertainment game universes, more activities and attractions to be announced. The previous BlizzCon was held in Anaheim in October 2010, in case you didn't know. Tickets to the event sold out in minutes. And some of the highlights include unveiling of Diablo 3's fifth and final playable character class, the Demon Hunter, and the epic closing concert featuring Tenacious D. I love me some Jack Black. Oh, my God. further details about BlizzCon 2011, including ticket availability and pricing, will be announced on the official Blizzard website, eu.blizzard.com, as the event draws closer. They also want to let you know, you can probably find this on our job boards. We've been telling you about this, and I think I did post it. They're hiring. Yeah, they're hiring. So to keep pace with the continued growth of World of Warcraft, as well as development on other Blizzard Entertainment games, the company is currently hiring for numerous open positions. More information is available on available career opportunities can be found at eu.blizzard.com/jobs. And I'm already there. Don't bother. So... go check that out if you're looking for a job. Are you excited, Jen? Are we going to have to send you to that? Will we get you back if we send you?
No, I'd be totally lost forever.
You most likely would.
I want to go home with them. Oh.
It's okay. It's okay. Woo, woo, woo. Woo, woo. It's okay. Breathe, breathe, Jen. Breathe.
I've never been to BlizzCon. I want to go.
Been to any to one either, and I used to be big on Diablo back in the day when it was on AOL way back then. Nobody remembers that. They would give you a free Diablo account if you signed up for AOL with a year. See, nobody remembers that. And I was so playing every day, all day. When we had snow days like we've had the past few days, I sat in my chair and I did not move. Kept cappuccino and oatmeal 3 times a day.
Ooh, nice.
Surprised I didn't die. Mm-hmm. What you got, Jim? What you got?
Guerrilla promises action against Killzone 3 cheaters. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com because I love them.
I love the title.
Senior producer Steven Terhide says he's concerned that hacks similar to those plaguing Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, and other games on the PlayStation Network could affect the newest release of Guerrilla Games. Speaking to GamerZines, Terhide said that his company will be vigilant in its fight against players who want to bend the rules and use security holes to gain an advantage online. Terhide says that they've seen cheats that are possible in other games. Our biggest concern is that one person is able to ruin other people's experience. That's something we need to clamp down on, he says. From our end, we're constantly monitoring what is happening in the games. We'll try and plug holes that people start abusing. We'll make sure that those people don't get a place in the Killzone universe. So that's awesome. I think that's good. I mean, you know, I can't talk. Terhide also goes on to say that cheaters can expect to be banned from the PlayStation Network and that the game will be regularly updated to deal with hacks, exploits, and security issues. I'm glad that they're about freaking time. You got to meet them head on because these guys are just going to keep doing it.
Thank you, PlayStation, for stepping up. It's about time.
Mm-hmm.
Well...
but my kid has such and such. It's not his name.
Oh, y'all have pissed Ginger off again early on in the day. Oh, wait a minute. I'm all disoriented now. What was I looking at? Good God. Robert Tustin is no longer my friend. Oh, okay. We told you about this last week. Duty Calls, which is a parody of the Call of Duty series. Well, the official Bulletstorm Twitter feed has reported that its parody download of Call of Duty to promote the upcoming action game Bulletstorm has been downloaded approximately, and I have no drum roll or I'd play one for you because this is amazing, 1,250,000 times.
Wow.
And
that's
they say,
a lot.
Yes, and they say they'd like to say thank you with Duty Calls wallpapers over at their Facebook page. Again, it is a parody of the Call of Duty series and of the first-person shooter genre in general. It's designed to promote the upcoming release of People Can Fly's and Epic's first-person arcade action game, Bulletstorm. The game is set for release on multiple platforms. February 22nd, yay! I'm not a Bulletstorm fan, but I am waiting for Homefront. Yay, Homefront, yay! I'm sorry, I can't say sorry enough. I'm so excited.
Okay, well, we got a couple of minutes, so I think I can fit this one in here because this one is long. Compelling arguments for game tax breaks concludes parliamentary committee. The TIGA, T-I-G-A, the trade association representing the UK games industry, welcomed the Scottish Affairs Select Committee report, Video Games Industry in Scotland, that was published today. The report recommends that the government undertake an in-depth review of the economics of game tax relief as well as re-examining its cancellation. You know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, several companies saying, you know what, screw you, we'll go back to the U.S. where they give us tax breaks and, you know, come into Texas because we rock.
Amen.
Anyway, so the report accepted many of TIGA's key arguments that the government was wrong to drop games tax relief on the grounds that it was poorly targeted, that the government failed to consult with the video games industry before canceling the tax break last year, that the UK games industry is not competing on a level playing field, that the video games industry needs targeted government support, that it is inconsistent for the government to support a film tax credit, but not games tax relief. Oh, yes, I so agree with
Boo.
That. Boo. And that the existing R&D tax credits should be enhanced. The committee could not reach a consensus over the issue of game tax relief, but said, there are both compelling arguments for tax relief, most notably in the lessons of the effect such relief has had in Canada, and real concerns. TIGA's research shows that over 5 years, game tax relief would create a safeguard of 9,519 direct and indirect jobs, including 3,366 jobs in the game industry. 431 million investment, whatever that little L sign is, in development expenditure. Yeah, same thing with the 394 million in tax receipts in HM Treasury, a cost of 194 million in tax relief to HM Treasury. In other words, the game's tax relief more than pays for itself. Game tax relief would benefit Scotland directly by creating a safeguard of 28 million in investment over the same time period. So pretty much, y'all screw the pooch when y'all canceled this. They're going to come to the U.S. They're going to bring us jobs, which is about time. We need those. So, sorry, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Richard Wilson, TIGA CEO, commented. He says, the independent cross-party Scottish Affairs Select Committee has indicated many of TIGA's arguments. The committee has recognized that there are compelling arguments for game tax relief, dismissed the government's claims that the game's tax relief is poorly targeted, criticized the government for failing to consult with industry, demonstrated that this is absurd for the government to support the film tax credit but not game tax relief, acknowledge that the UK video games industry is not competing on a level playing field, that the games industry needs targeted government support, and that the current R&D tax credit should be improved.
Wow. So, Ginger,
yeah.
And Ginger is amazing.
So I'm going to probably post this over on the website. I'm going to check this out.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, let Ginger catch her breath, and myself, because I was breathing hard, trying to keep up with that. And we'll be right back. If you're listening live, you have to listen later.
Oh my God, he just ran in. leave them scattered, not to fight too many. We'll be in trouble if we don't take them down quick.
I think Leroy needs something.
Okay, guys, I'll run in first so we can keep them scattered, not to fight too
many. All right, Ginger, you caught your breath yet?
I think so. That was a long one. I don't even think I finished half of it. Oh,
well, it's a lot to take in, and it's important because if it affects us, because if it happens over there, it might happen over here, unfortunately.
We are seeing it in California, I think.
Yes.
That's fine. Bring it to Texas. We'll take them.
We'll take you all.
We got enough space. Come on.
We got more than enough space. Bring it.
Just some sweet tea. We'll make it some bread. It'll be all good.
Did you say tea and bread and biscuits?
That'd be good.
You know, that would be good. I think I need some of that after the show. Tea, bread, and biscuits all at the same time.
We
use the bread to sop up the tea, and then I'm going to eat it with the biscuit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's nasty, Ginger.
Yeah, that is nasty. I'm thinking, ew, soggy bread.
No. Okay. Well, this happened late last week. Did we already do this? Martin Brown?
I don't think so.
Well, Martin Brown, who's the co-founder of company Team 17, has left. He said, peace out, people. I'm done. He announced it via his Facebook page last week. He ran the company best known for the Worms series of tactical strategy games and Alien Breed series of action games for nearly 20 years.
The Worms are going to get you.
Yeah, and he said, my sincere, heartfelt thanks to everybody who helped in any way, shape, or form over those two glorious decades. He said, I leave Team 17 in great shape, but it's now time for my own adventure. What that adventure entails or where it will take him remains a mystery at this time. And if we find out anything else, or you can also pop over to GamePolitics.com, keep an eye out over there, or their sources develop. Yeah. Sorry. I don't know if to say sorry or congratulations, to be honest. Okay, how about, sorry you had to go, and yay! There we go.
You know, a new adventures is always good. I wish him well.
I wish him well, too. And he looks like he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Like he keeps candy in his pocket for people like myself that ask for candy. Yeah, for people
don't
that
ever go with the guys who offer you candy. Don't you know that?
I'm a big girl. I'm a big girl. They have more to worry about for me if they don't have the candy when they say they have some. You don't have any candy. It was a lie. Oh, now I'm not.
Oh, the candy's a lie. Oh, not good. Not good.
What you got, Jen?
Somebody going to get cut.
Yes.
All right. So this is, I'm not quite sure what this is going to be for. Anyways, state-of-the-art data mining and monetization company for the online games industry. Game Analytics launches. Game Analytics, a new data mining and monetization, I said that right the first time, company serving the global online video games industry was announced today. The company offers turnkey real-time behavioral analytics, predictive modeling, and individually targeted in-game marketing products and service to online game publishers. Unique in the industry and backed by decades of hands-on experience, Game Analytics, state-of-the-art technology, has the power to maximize online gaming revenue and transforms its clients' profitability. The company was founded by UK game industry specialist Chris Wright alongside a team of analytics experts from the financial and retail industries. Tim Christian, entrepreneur and game industry veteran, has both invested in the company and joined as chief financial officer. Chris Wright, chief executive officer, explains the company's vision. He says the games industry has fundamentally changed. Games are now a service provided digitally on demand. Experiences range from casual social Facebook games to complex online virtual worlds and MMOs. These games are paid for in a variety of ways, from traditional upfront payments to subscriptions, micropayments for virtual goods, and MMOs. These games are paid for, and I already said that, I just skipped back. The key to all of this data, companies need to quickly understand and effectively respond to the massive amounts of player information they are gathering. The companies that get this right are the ones that will succeed in this new and exciting future. He goes on to say that game analytics is unique in that it combines sophisticated data mining technology from the retail and financial industries with a deep knowledge and understanding of the games industry. Our services unlock the true value of player data and maximize revenue for game companies by providing state-of-the-art real-time behavior analytics and predictive modeling to deliver individually targeted in-game marketing. Ooh.
Yay!
Yeah, so does this mean more ads in games? I don't quite understand what this is for, what they're going to be doing.
I don't know.
Yay! Yay! Well, way to go. hope your endeavor works. Hope it doesn't bring more gold sellers.
Ooh, that's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so some of our friends over at Total Video Games have launched an iPad gaming magazine. Yes. Now, Total Video Games is the longest-running video game website in the UK, much like we're the longest-running podcast on iTunes, has announced the release of its first dedicated games magazine for the iPad, which is a novel idea. Amazing. Days after its launch, Apple awarded Total Video Games Games of 2011 with a top spot in the new and noteworthy entertainment section of iTunes for iPad apps. Fantastic, guys. Total Video Games, I'm going to need them to stop saying your name. takes a wide view of this year's AAA gaming crop from Rockstar's L.A. Noire to Nintendo's next Zelda title, utilizing features made possible by the iPad such as social networking integration, embedded trailers, and interactive pages. Total Video Games, Games of 2011, marks the strongest foray into the iPad market by a gaming magazine yet. I am all kinds of impressed. Wow, I'm having trouble breathing. Okay, TVG editor Chris Layton has explained. He says, we see our new iPad application as the perfect antidote to disposable online content. This is the app you can sit down and enjoy, much like an annual for the more discerning gamer, but with all the benefits that online brings, such as direct links to online gaming communities. This type of interactivity allows users to instantly access extended information about the games they're viewing directly from the app itself, with links to TVG's RSS feeds, Twitter debates, and additional YouTube videos. Following the initial success of their first mobile application, TVG has already announced further plans to follow up later in the year. Total Video Games, Games of 2011, is now available on the App Store for £59. They put a P, yay, I know what that is, which is 99 cents American. Yay! And that's why they're our friends. You can take a visit or check them out over at totalvideogames.com/iPad for more information on the magazine and also a trailer of the app in motion. And you can also harass them, send them an email. I believe they have their email up there. I'm not going to give it out here. And congratulations, guys. This is an excellent idea. I had this idea years ago, but there was no iPad, so I didn't know what to do with it. I'm glad somebody picked it up and ran with it. Fantastic. That's how you use technology, people. That's how you're supposed to use it. I may even have a subscription so we can keep an eye on them. And I still don't have an iPad. Well, I have an emulator now. Yay. I won't say any more about that. That's a secret.
All right. Video Game Nation exhibition goes on tour. First stop, Northeast England. Ah, you UK people, y'all get all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
An exhibition celebrating the very best of British video gaming is going on tour, starting with the northeast of England this coming Saturday. Thousands of people visited Video Game Nation when it made its debut at Urbis in Manchester, showcasing gaming from the late 1970s to the present day. On Saturday, February 12th, it will stop at the huge Woodhorn Museum and Northumberland Archives near Newcastle, where it will remain for a whopping 7 months. Oh, wow.
Good. Wow.
I know. The unique exhibition is split into a number of sections, starting with a recreated bedroom in which gamers can play a host of titles from the late 1970s and 1980s while learning more about the people who helped plant the seeds of the gaming industry.
Yes, because that's where you would do that, in a bedroom.
Yeah, that's not what I was thinking. I was about to go, thinking, oh, great, what am I reading? there's a host of quit-op arcade machines, an office area which reflects the growing nature of gaming that is packed with a host of original design documents and posters, as well as a hand-drawn map of cult favorite Dizzy. A mocked-up football stadium shows the best of British sports games. Streets are littered with handheld devices, and a living room lets you kick back and relax with some of the more contemporary titles. with an emphasis on interactivity and under the guiding eyes of a massive Yoda build, Yoda built from Lego. Oh, that's pretty cool. I'd like to see that.
I would like to see that, yeah.
Players not only get to play dozens of games, but they can also understand more about the process of making them. Looks like you can also design your own pixel art and box covers and display them for all to see. See items which have been donated by various British gaming companies, and because this is an exhibition in the Northeast, many of the companies in the area include Ubisoft Reflections. Oh, I'm going to kill this name. Utinix? Yeah, okay. The Falcus Brothers and Pitbull Studios have been actively involved, making for a stunning showcase. The curator and video game journalist David Crooks says Video Game Nation lets people who played games as children see just how far the industry has come, while at the same time allow more recent gamers to see the immense heritage of the gaming in UK. Gaming has become a hugely significant part of so many people's lives over the years, and yet there's still a feeling that games are for geeks. This exhibition aims not only to help strip away such preconceptions, but also celebrate the contribution British developers have made to gaming. It's a multi-million pound industry today, but the wealth of cash hasn't been to the detriment of creativity, and we aim to look at games as a cultural influence and still developing form of interactive media. So that's pretty awesome. The exhibition will be accompanied by an events program, details of which will be available shortly. Directions to Woodhorn can be found at www.experiencewoodhorn.com/direction. I do not see any kind of price or anything, though, so I can't tell you how much it costs to get in.
Hmm. Well, I got two bits in one.
She's got two bits.
First of all, something lovely just popped into my email box. The lovely people over at evilcontrollers.com said, why not have the zombie people wear T-shirts for Valentine's Day? No, that is not what they said. But however, you can win one. So make sure you're listening Wednesday night and possibly Thursday night. We may give them away alternating nights. We're not sure yet. But we do have it confirmed that we will have. That's one of the prizes we'll be giving away, along with other things from the developers at Fallen Earth. So that just came into my mailbox. Had to share that with you. Again, make sure you're listening Wednesday and Thursday night. You never know. We'll say, hey, guess what? You got a T-shirt. And sorry, guys, this is going to be for the girls. Sorry. you can get one for your girlfriend. I'm sure she'd appreciate something. You know, mm-hmm. your gamer girlfriend. If your girl does not like games, don't get a shirt. That's just wrong. And also, another game I'm finding super, super interesting. I got to get me an iPhone or use my emulator, one of the two. Viral.
Come to the dark side. Come to the dark side.
Android, no. Viral, the first iPhone game. Stop it, you bad ginger. Viral, which is
however, do not have Flash. Sorry.
She is out of control today. I've been a bad influence on her, see? What I do to her. I earned it. I take my lumps like a woman. Viral, the first iPhone game developed by West Yorkshire-based developer Noisy Badger. I love the name. Is now available for download for £59 on the Apple App Store. See, some of these people are giving us the money. Thank you. You know, we don't know what it is. Players use their ingenuity to initially create an infectious virus, which they can then infect upon a country of their choosing. After unleashing their virus, the player can then evolve it to better aid the spread to other countries based on each country's different attributes. The aim of the game is to wipe out the entire human population of Earth, turning them into zombies. No, I had the zombies part. some features include a challenging, ingenuity-led approach to gameplay, with players required to use their common sense to best solve problems. If a country has too robust an attribute, it is up to the player to work out how best to evolve their virus to combat that particular country. They're saying it's extremely addictive, which is a feature. I like that they said that. So you can check out this game. It's noisybadger.com, and it is available on the iTunes store. But the link is way too long, so we'll probably pop that up for you if I haven't already. All the links up. And they do have a blogspot as well, noisybadger.blogspot.com. And they have a Twitter, which is nothing like any of these names. So, yeah, we'll give you these links here. I think I've already put it up, but I'll go back and add these links they have at the bottom. This looks pretty interesting. It's kind of like a PSP game that they that they developed back in 2006. I believe it was Call Infection or something. I don't remember the name of it, but I got to meet the developer, and I thought it was a great idea. So I'm glad somebody's tried to do it or is doing it for iPhone. Looks like it could be interesting, especially if I can actually give Ginger a virus via her iPhone. Would be nice.
That was bad.
That was bad. Not that kind of virus. In the game. In the game. I would never do that.
Yeah, no. See, I didn't even go there, but all right.
Blasphemy. I was thinking along iPhone, you know, like computer virus. I would never, ever do that to the Ginger. Never.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I think we are over our time. And so they've not cut us, but we should probably go before they do.
Yeah, I didn't even realize I was having so much fun sitting here talking.
Oh, and y'all get us so many times this week. Okay, we are going to get out of here. We hope you guys, we'll see you guys this weekend, Fallen Earth. And we keep telling you about this because it's an awesome event. And the ladies of Fallen Earth are absolutely the most awesomest women you'll ever meet. The game is awesome.
They are pink rocket launchers.
With mutant chickens. You cannot go wrong.
Loves it, zombies.
And first-person shooter attributes? Come on, guys.
Oh, you know you want them.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yo, yo, yo.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Sucker tried to blame me, but you never paid me, never. Oh, no, you didn't.
That's how I was feeling last night.
I know she did not send me some painted chicken.
No, somebody tried to get me last night for the glass. I will never before I asked for the glass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you tried to sell me his glass for 100 chips. You guys scan the money when you get in. And it was just lying around in the apocalypse.
I know, it's true.
You didn't pay me what you owe.
And we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Later, guys. Monday.
First you try to trap me, then you bust a cap in my ass.
Oh no, you didn't.
Such humiliation will bring annihilation at last.
Oh no, you didn't.
It will be delicious when I get vicious tomorrow.
Oh no, you didn't.
There's no second chances, you will do the dance of sorrow.
Oh no, you didn't.
Oh no, you didn't.